right, so we're on Daf and Hate Bay. I'll begin around 8 lines from the top on Menhem and Aleph. So the Gemara says, again, this is the end part of the Mishnah that we did on Daf Mem Gimel. Today's Wednesday, so we did the Mishnah on Monday night. The Mishnah said that every day Torah is offered in the base of Mikdash, but the Kohen, not necessarily the Kohen Gadol, and there's one mana. A mana is the weight of 100 silver dinars. So he has one mana of Torah that's offered each day. One half in the morning, one half in the evening. Or pras. Pras means like, it's like prusa, like a half. So half in the morning, half in the evening. And then the Mishnah said, though, today on Yom Kippur, he's got more. He takes, in addition to that, he has his handfuls of Torah that he's going to offer in the Kodesh Kadashim. And he's taking that handful from an extra three mana. Like we say every morning in the Korbanot, that there were extra three mana, so he's going to take the handful from the three mana. Then the Mishnah says, every day it was a fine Torah. It was ground very finely. Now on Yom Kippur, it's super fine. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabban on Dakpa. So Chazal teaches, this is the Braisa. So the Braisa is quoting a Pasuk in Achari Mod. So the Pasuk says, this is Pasuk Yud Beis on page 640, if you have the article finished. He's going to take his handfuls of Torah Tzamim, of the incense spice, as they translate it, daka. It's very fine. So the Gemara, so back in the Gemara, we're on Mem Hei Amar Aleph, around the 10th line from the top. He says, Tan Rabbanan daka. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, why does it have to say that the Torah is Daka, is finally ground? The Torah already dictates the Torah is always finely ground. So how is the Torah different on Yom Kippur than during the year? On Yom Kippur, it was even more finely ground. On Yom Kippur, they would put it back in the grinder and grind it again and make it even finer. Okay, now, we said in the Mishnah that every day, like the Konim is like traffic control. They're like they're bearing to the right. It was when they go up the ramp is 16 amot in width. So when they're walking up the ramp, they stay to the right. And then they're going to turn right when they got to the top of the ramp. That's what we said. So it's not considered kavodik towards the Mizbeach to wander here, there, and the other thing. So they stay to the right. So the Gemara says, the Amar Mar, we have a statement, which we've had before, that in Halacha, we always go to the right. Since we always go to the right, and they have to be in the right turn lane as you go up the Kevah. V'hayom, now the next line in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, V'hayom, now the Sadi corrects it, Ole Be'emsa V'yarei Be'emsa. Today, the Kohen Gadol, he walks in the center of the Kevah. She doesn't stay huge to the right. So my Thomas, somebody needs to mute themselves. So let me get this, help you out. Okay, let me just mute everybody again. Okay. All right. So he says, my time, why does he go in the middle? We should photo the Kohen Gadol. Because the Kabbalah of the Kohen Gadol, if you look at the Rashi, the third, fourth narrow line of Rashi, Mishum Kodo, a road chashibuto, shukben bayit. Like he's like, it's like his home. So he's not obligated to follow the normal rules. Like in my house, I do what I want in my house, you know. So it's like so he doesn't have to stay on the right side of the Kevah. Okay, b'chol yom, again back in the Gemara, b'chol yom kohen gadol makadosh et dav raglav and a kiur v'chulei. We said every day the kohen gadol uses the kiur, the laver, to wash his hands and feet. But today on Yom Kippur, he has a kiton zahav, a golden pitcher or a flask to wash his hands and feet. My time, why? Special kavod from the Kohen Gadol. Okay, who's the question, Tom's thoughts on anything that we did so far?
It there sounds like the Manish Tana of Yom Kippur.
All right. That's right. When he does it, you know, on which the golden cup. So that seems like something only on Yom Kippur, the golden cup. That seems like it's only on Yom Kippur. That's the way that seems. All right. The All right, let me just pause for station identification. There's a piece here. Now, he quotes, if you look at the Tosfos on the bottom of Mem Dalamud Beis, 44b, the bottom line, Tosfos, Yomi Kiton Shasahav. Now, this Tosfos really belongs on the Mishnah, but it relates to the Gemara that we did just now. Yomi Kiton Shasahav, the Amad Parakshini Dizvachim, the whole Klisharit Mekadesh, that any Klisharit can be Mekadesh, the hands and feet, the figure Chatsu, Ravot Sha'ar Klisharit, Riva. So the Riva is teaching it doesn't dafka have to be the cure, be any Klisharit. Now, he says, now he quotes this here in the Aladah. The Rambam indicates that although performing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim from a vessel is valid, L'chadchila, the mitzvah of Kiddush Adayim, should be performed from the kiyur. So the Ramban disagrees and argues that if washing from a vessel was not the preferred manner for the mitzvah, the Kohen Gadol would not have washed from a vessel on Yom Kippur. Evidently, asserts the Ramban, washing from a vessel is just as appropriate as washing from the kiyur. The Kli Chemda, in defense of the Rambam, cites the following novel assertion of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer submits that although the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Yutet says that the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is essential to the validity of the Avoda, this is only if the Kohen Gadol did not immerse in a mikvah on that day. However, a Kohen immersed in a mikvah and then performed an Avoda without prior Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the Avoda is valid. So, in other words, the mikvah is sort of like, you know, it's like a superseding act. It's like not just the hands and feet, it's the whole body. Accordingly, remarks the Kli Chemda on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol performs Tzvila in addition to Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the Kiddush Adayim is not Ma'akev. In such case, washing from a vessel is just as good as washing from the Kiyur. So it could be, in Achinami, that Kiddush Adayim Raglayim from the vessel is L'Chadchila, but on Yom Kippur, where he's already gone to the Mikvah, so he's good with the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim from the Kiton Shel Tzahav. Now, the Mishnah above on Lamed Aleph, in describing the Yom Kippur Avodah, states that when the Kohen Gadol immersed in a mikvah, he donned his big day kahuna and performed Kiddush Adayim Raglayim and then slaughtered the Korban Tamid. Rashi to the Mishnah there on Lamed Aleph remarks that the Kohen Gadol washed his hands from the Kiyor. So now we have a little bit of a stira. We've said that he washes from the Kiton Tzahav on Yom Kippur, but on the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph, Rashi says he washes from the Kiyor. So Siyanta finds difficulty with Rashi's comments. For our Mishnah on Mam Gimel, states that the Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands from the Kiton Zahav. So how do we reconcile that? So the Pri Chadash, in defense of Rashi, cites the Yerushalmi, that differentiates between the first Kiddush Adayim Raglayim the Kohen Gadol performed in Yom Kippur and the following four. Rashi is of the opinion that the first Kiddush Adayim Raglayim of the day was essential to the validity of the Avodot, and therefore was performed from the Kiyor. That would answer all the questions. So according to the way Rashi could be learning, the way the Pri Chadash is explaining, in Achinami, the first time he washes his hands and feet was from the Kiyur. Our Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol washed from the golden flask, referring to the other four times that he performed Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Since these were not Ma'akev, it was acceptable to wash from a vessel. Okay, then we have that. Okay. So, in other words, it sounds like it's working with the Rambam. The Rambam says like the Ikar Chiyuv is the first time you go into the basement that you do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So we had a question. The Rambam says, L'chadchila, but do you have any other keli? The chil should be the cure. So then we have an answer. We said that only if you didn't go to the mikvah. Maybe we went to the mikvah is nishka perla. But now he says that Rashi and Mem Aleph says he did from the cure. So it could be the first one he did from the cure. The subsequent ones the kiton zahav, and that's the way it's going. Okay, let's move back in the Gemara. Now again, if you have a chumash in front of you, that's helpful, but it's whatever you prefer. Okay, now let's see back. Now just to refresh your recollection, if you remember in the Mishnah, we had several opinions as to how many ma'arachot, how many pyres were on top of the Mizbeach. So in the Mishnah, we began with Reb Meir. Reb Meir held normally four, and now today five. Everybody agrees that on Yom Kippur, there's an additional pyre on Yom Kippur, and the additional pyre is to create coals that will be used for the Ketoret in the Kodesh Kedashim. So everybody holds that there's an additional ma'arachot, or pyre, on the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur. So Reb Meir holds that normally four, and today five. Then Rabbi Yossi holds normally three and today four, and Rabbi Yehuda holds normally two and today three. That's the way we learn from the Mishnah. So the Gemara now is going to dissect these opinions and explain them and where they get their sources from and everything else. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. So, B'choyom ha'yusham arba ma'arachot, tan rabbana b'choyom. Now, the Braisa reverses the sheet code that we had in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we started from the largest to the smallest. The Braisa begins from the smallest to the largest. Every day there were two pyres on top of the Fayom Shalot. So according to the first Tana, who's going to be Rabbi Yehuda, he holds the Maracha Gdola means the big fire that's to burn the Korbanot on. To burn Korbanot, that's what the is all about. And the other Maracha is to create coals for the Torah that's offered every day. In other words, you need some coals, and you can bring the coals into the inner Mizbeach and burn the Torah on that. And then, Rabbi Yehuda, there's an additional one that's added on Yom Kippur, and we set it, the additional one on Yom Kippur, is for coals to burn the Torah in the Kodesh Kedashim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, before Yom Shalosh, by Yom Arba, the Tana Rabbi Yossi says every day they would have three Ma'arachot. Each one is accumulating from the previous one, so it's the previous one plus. So it's Rabbi Yossi Omer, before Yom Shalosh, by Yom Arba, and you see the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Every day three, day four. So the first two are the same as we said before. I have a big fire for the korbanot, and I have a smaller one for the koret, the regular koret. The additional one that Rabbi Yossi says is an additional pyre, so that if the main fire seems to be going down, we'll take burning logs off this pyre and add it to that. He says, and then an additional one that we had on Yom Kippur that we did. Now, the third opinion we have, it's really Rebbe Omer, and the way the Brice is brought in Tosefta is Rebbe Omer, but the Rashash says it should be Rebbe Meir Omer, and it makes it conforms it with our Mishnah. Rebbe Meir Omer, before Yom Arba by Yom Kamech. Rebbe Meir says every day they had four pyres on this day. Today they had five. This is like, I remember you were saying, Fern, about Manishtan. This is like Echad Miodea. He says, Achat Maracha Gdola. One is the large pyre for the burning the korbanot. The second one for the ketoret, you know, for the daily ketoret. The third one, in case the fire begins to go down on the main fire, we'll add logs or wood from there. A fourth pyre, according to Tara Meir, is to burn things that we're catching from last night. Again, all korbanot, they have to be brought up on the Mizbeach before daybreak, but we may not have had time to burn them all. So the yesterday's korbanot, all the rest residue and remainder, will put on this additional pyre and burn them. That's according to Tan Rabbi Meir. He says, v'achash mosifin bo bayom, and one that we had just for today. All right, so we've covered the opinions, and now the Gemara is going to dissect it. All right, any questions, comments, or thoughts on the brice that we just did? Yeah, what's up? No. Rabbi Meir holds every day of the year. There's four fires. On Yom Kippur, there's a fifth one. Everybody agrees that there's an additional pyre on Yom Kippur. And the additional pyre is to create coals, the Torah that's burnt in the Kodesh Kedashim. We'll see, it's based on Pesukim. To hold off, wait till the end of the Sugya, I think it'll help answer your questions. In other words, each darsh in the Pesukim is saying this is the way it should be done. Everybody's premise for the extra is. No. You're mixing things up. Okay. Now there's one machloket between the Tanaim do not Yom Kippur. Do I need two, three, or four pyres? With that, Remeir says he has an additional pyre for things that weren't burnt up last night. That we got. Everybody also holds whatever I hold normally, whether two, three, or four, that there's an additional pyre on Yom Kippur, only on Yom Kippur, and that's to create coals for the Ketoret that's being burnt in the Kodesh Kedashim. Okay, let's see. In the Mizbeach Kapnimi, on the inner Mizbeach. And then on Yom Kippur, in addition to that, we're going to burn Torah in the Kodesh Kedashim. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to analyze the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Kuliyam Mia Tarte Yitlahu. So the Gemara says, everybody agrees, we'll start off, they have at least two pyres. Everybody agrees with that. So Manalan, where do we know, where does the Torah teach me that I have to have two pyres? And if you have your chumash, now it helps to open Parshas Tzav, which I will do. So this, if they have an article chumash, this would be page 568. It's Perikva, Pasuk Aleph, and following. So let's get back in the Gemara. Kuliyami Atarti Gitlahu Manalan Amar Kro. So if you look at the Suki in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, it's really talking about Trumas Hadeshen. There's a chumash over here that's okay, the Trumas Hadeshen. So, but it mentions, Ki ha'ola al mokda al mizbeach kol alayla. Mokda means burning. Ki ha'ola al mokda al mizbeach kol alayla. Every time it says mokda, or the cognate, that word means a pyre. Ki ha'ola al mokda al mizbeach kol alayla, zu maracha gdola. So mokda, that refers to the main fire, to burn the avarim. The eish ha'mizbeach tukad bo, the fire of the mizbeach will burn on it, okay, that's the second maracha of Torah. All right, so those two, everybody agrees what we just said. Okay, so everybody's good with that. Now, Rabbi Yossi, Kima Eish Manale. Now, the Tana Rabbi Yossi says there's a third pyre for Kima Eish to like Robert was saying, to take like burning wood and turn it on the main fire if it goes down. Rabbi Yossi, Kima Eish Manale. Where does he learn that I should have an additional pyre? So he learns it from in Pasuk Hey, in page 568. If you look at Pasuk Hey, which is the bottom line, so Tukat is mentioned again. In other words, we were quoting from Pasuk Bay. We had Mokda there, and then we had Tukat. Now, if you slip down to the bottom line, it says, the final stage will be burning there. So he says, so back in the Gemara, last narrow line, so Nafkalei mi Behaishal Zayat Tukat Bo. So that's the way Rabbi Yossi holds, that the Torah is directing a third pyre. Rabbi Yehuda, now Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, what does he do with that pasuk? So he says, that pasuk, you're right, tukat bo burning, is to teach me that there's a mitzvah to light the fire from small wood and to light the small wood on top of the mizbeah. In other words, every day they would light the pyre, and to light the pyre, it's a little bit like they would do in the Boy Scouts, start with like the small pieces of wood. But teach me the mitzvah is to light that wood on top of the mizbeach, not like the wood below and then bringing it up. So we'll see in a minute. So the pasuk says, but you thought it was there, two cut bow. In other words, you'll light it there. So the first white line of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda hu latzata lita hu da'ata. The Tanya would learn the braisa, haya Rabbi Yehuda omer. Rabbi Yehuda would say, minayin latzata lita shol tehel bro shol shom mizbeach. Where do we know that lighting up the alita is like these small twigs, these small pieces of wood that are going to light up the whole thing? Where do we know that that must take place on top of the mizbeach? Talmud Lomar va'eshal mizbeach tukat bo. It says va'eshal mizbeach tukat bo. So that's the pasuk that Rabbi Yossi was using. Rabbi Yehuda used that pasuk. It's like additional superfluous words, but he used it to teach me a different halacha because he doesn't agree. And as a result of that, he doesn't agree that there's a mitzvah to have a pyre for kiyum ma'esh. So I'm a Rabbi Yossi. This is still part of the brisa. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda, "Minayin she'oseh maracha l'kiyum ha'esh? Where do I know that person has to have a maracha, a pyre for kiyum ha'esh? Tamalomar ba'esh l'sbeach tukat bo." So he states his opinion. Rabbi Yehuda states his opinion. So they're arguing. How do I darshan pasuk hey? So the next lines of the Gemara are predictable. Rabbi Yossi hasata l'litam inale. So where does the Tana Rabbi Yossi learn, Mistam, we assume that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that the alita has to be lit on top of the mizbeach? Where does he learn that from? Because he's using up the pasuk for something else. Naftalei mehecha the naftalei of the Reb Shimon. He's going to learn it out from the same place that the Tana Reb Shimon learns it out from, and we'll see Reb Shimon in 1 second. And when it says Reb Shimon, it means Reb Shimon bar Yochai. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, and this is talking about a different pasuk. This pasuk is in the beginning of Vayikra. It's talking about offering a korban. It's in Vayikra Perek Aleph. If you want, you could follow. But it's on this passage on page 546. So he says, "Not did not believe Rav Shem Tanya, but not Nubani Aron Kohen Eishal Mizbeach." So this is Pasuk Zion on page 546, Perek Aleph Pasuk Zion, that the name Aaron, the sons of Aaron, the Kohen, will put fire on the Mizbeach. So Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, remember, Rabbi Yehuda already learned from a different pasuk that the alita has to be lit on top of the mizbeah. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda learns this pasuk as well, that the one who lights the fire on top of the Mizbeach has to be a Kohen Kasher, a Kohen that's fit for Avoda, and it has to be Klisharet. The way Rashi takes it, Klisharet here means wearing his big day kuhuna. In other words, because it says, but anu b'nei Aharon ha-Kohen, eish. So ha-Kohen, like we've heard, means b'kihuno, like with his full, you know, vestments of kuhuna, and we assume that he is a Kasher Kohen, b'nei Aharon ha-Kohen. So he says, Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, and here's where the lights go off. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, v'chita le'adad k'tashizar k'rev l'gab mizbeach. Once you tell me, Rabbi Yehuda, you say that I know Alita from a different pasuk. So once you say the Alita has to be burnt to the top of the Mizbeach, would you think that a non-Kohen could even come close to the Mizbeach? And Rashi quotes the pasuk. If you look, it's 10 lines from the bottom in Rashi. Here, let's take a look at Rashi. V'chita le'adad k'tashizar k'rev l'gab mizbeach. Since you learn already that the Alita has to be lit on top of the Mizbeach, on top of the altar, do we need this pasuk to teach me that in the Kohen, would you think a non-Kohen could come close to the Mizbeach? Non-Kohenim should not come close to the Mizbeach. So I know obviously it's a Kohen, and presumably we know what he has wearing big big kahuna. Back in the Gemara, 5 lines to the bottom, rather, the Tana Reb Shimon says, Elimed elatzat talita shotehei elabarosho shomizbeach. So he says that this pasuk, according to the Tana Reb Shimon, which is the pasuk Zion, Perek Aleph pasuk Zion, that says that anybody around Kohen Eish Lamizbeach. This is the pasuk that teaches me that the Alita has to be written, on top of the Mizbeach. The other pasuk, presumably Reb Shimon, will learn like Rabbi Yossi, is teaching me that I need a fire for Kohen Mizbeach. Let me just do a few more lines and then I will pause. Rabbi Yehuda responds to that. So again, Rabbi Yehuda was attacked. Rabbi Yehuda has two psukim that relate to Alita. One teaching the Alita has to burn to the Mizbeach. The other that only a Kohen can light the Alita, and he has to be wearing his big day kahuna. Rabbi Yehuda, he may have time. Rabbi Yehuda would say, look, if I only have the first pasuk, you know, the one that was in Parsha Tzav, that's Va'eshel Mizbeach Tukad Bo, he says, Havamina Kaya Ara Ba'abi B'mapucha. I would have thought that a non-Kohen could be standing on the ground of the Azara and taking bellows and igniting the fire with the bellows and igniting it. So you don't have to go on the Mizbeach. I would have thought you don't have to go on to the Mizbeach to do it, the whole thing. He says, Kamash Malan. This pasuk teaches me that no, it has to be a Kohen and on top of the Mizbeach. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, Kamash Malan. Okay, so let me pause here for a second and let's digest and take questions. Okay, so we just analyzed two opinions in the Braisa. We know there are three opinions in the Braisa, and it's just used numbers and remember the system, right? So the first is Rabbi Yehuda holds there's normally two fires, and we said that learning it from Eishon Mizbeach Tukad Bo, you know, it was Tukad twice. So everybody's on the same page with that. So I have one fire for the Maarach HaGdol, the big fire to burn all the Evarim and whatever else is being burnt on Mizbeach. And I have another fire for the Ketoret. Everybody's good with that. Then Rabbi Yossi says, there's another Pasuk, and the third Pasuk said, this is Ba'esh Lo Mizbeach Tukad Bo, that was in Pasuk Hey. So the first two Pasukim were he al mokdal mizbeach v'yishol mizbeach tukad bo. Those are the first two psukim. The third pasuk is v'yishol mizbeach tukad bo lo tefeh. They're all similar, or similar. The second one, third one, similar. So the tukad bo, the third pasuk, according to the Tan Rabbi Yossi, that teaches me I need a third fire for kiyum ha'esh. That I'll take wood off of there and help supplement the main flame. And the Tan Rabbi Yossi says no, I don't need it for that. I need it to teach me that the alita is burnt on top of the mizbeach. And then we touched up that how will Rabbi Yossi learn about the Alita? So learn it from the Pasuk in Vayikra. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, let's keep moving. So okay, so now we're 4 lines from the bottom on Mem Hei Amud Aleph, 45A, 4 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Meir, Evarim Darm Shlonuflu Mverev Benali. Where does the Tana Rabbi Meir learn that there's a fourth pyre normally not on Yom Kippur, but I mean on Yom Kippur as well, but a fourth choir every day of the year to handle limbs that weren't burnt the night before. So naftale mi ve'esh. So he learns it from the extra above. So let me go back to Sukkim. It says in Pasuk Beis, it says ve'esh al zeh sukkah bo, ve'esh. So it could say it says that vav alludes to the fact that there's another pyre. For Rabbanan, vav lo dorshi. The Chachamim don't darshan the vav. They think vav, that's just like, you know, the way grammatically, the way the Torah speaks, and we're not going to darshan the vav. Now, Rabbanan, ivarm tarmishon dakum v'erev my abidu. So what do the Chachamim, meaning everybody else, so Rayer holds I have another pyre to handle limbs that weren't burnt from last night. What does everybody else say I do with limbs that weren't burned from last night? So mahadil lehula marachag dolah. So they'll say you'll put it on the big marachah, you'll put it on the big pile in the middle of the mizbeach. Yeah, that's where it goes. The Tanya, we learned the brisa. Minayin leivarim u'darim shondakumber. Where we know that limbs and fat that weren't consumed in the evening. Now it means again we have korbanot that are brought every day of the year. And during the night, they have to be placed on the Mizbeah, but if they weren't consumed by fire or they never got onto the fire that night, they have to be dealt with the next day. Shesodron al-Gabi Mizbeah. So he says, where do we know that you have the farm that weren't consumed from the night before, that they should be arranged on the Mizbeah? V'im'ein ma'asikan, if there's not enough room on top of the Mizbeah, I guess it was a big business day, where there wasn't a big business day, a day for Korbanot, Shesodron al-Kevish, you'll line it up on the ramp. Or the Sovev is the ledge around the Mizbeach that's like a walkway. Until you'll make the big maracha and you'll burn it there and you'll arrange it there. Taman Lomar, Asher Tochala Eishan Ha'olah on HaMizbeach. So this is, again, on page 568, this is in Pasuk Gimel. It says, So we know already we're talking about an Ola, and we know already that the Ola is on the Mizbeah. So Ala Mizbeah has extra words. So the Gemara is darshing it out that it's teach me that these extra limbs are placed on the main fire. All right, so that we got. So again, so we have Machloka again between Remeir and the Chachamim, everybody else, as to is there an additional pyre for these limbs, you know, from yesterday's backup? So Meir says we have an additional pyre, and the Chachamim say no, it'll go on the main pyre. Because Remeir, what does Remeir learn from that pasuk? He says, "Asher tochal eishan ha'olah al ha'mizbeach." Those were the last words were totally superfluous. Al ha'mizbeach. And so, what does Remeir learn from that pasuk? Remeir, ikule ola tamachzir. Remeir learns that if sometimes things like limbs would shoot off the fire. In other words, like a limb was placed on the fire, but somehow it like shoots off as a result. I don't know the combustion. I'm not so familiar with the physics of it, but the limbs would shoot off. So then you put it back on the fire. So Remeir, Ola Tamaxi. Remeir says that pasuk teaches me if it's an Ola, an animal, I put it back on the fire. But let's say the Torah, if the Torah shot off the inner Mizbeach, I don't put that up back on the Mizbeach. That's what Remeir is going to learn from that phrase. The Tani Reb Chanani Bar Minyumi, but the Beit Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov, because Reb Chanani Bar Minyumi taught the following brisa that had been taught in the Beis Medrash of Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov. Asher tochal ha'esh and ha'olal ha'mizbeach. So this is the pasuk that we've been discussing. Ikuli ola tamachazir v'yatamachzir ikulei k'toret. That you put back animal, you don't put back k'toret. All right, now let me do a few lines and then I will pause. Now the Gemara says the kuli alma miat mosifin bo bayom itlahu. So everybody, whether it's Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, or Meir, they both agree on the first two pyres. But the other thing they all agree on is that there's an additional pyre on Yom Kippur. Everybody agrees that there's one additional pyre maracha, one additional maracha on Yom Kippur. So manaluhu. So where do they learn that from? Where do they get this extra pyre? So nafkalu mi veha esh. So they learn now from Biha Eish, and this is on Pasuk Hey. So it could say Eish Shalom is Beah Kukabo. It says Biha Eish. He says, Afafilu Laman Lo Darish Bav, even a quick opinion that doesn't want a darshan of Vav. We saw Naman Aleph. Some people don't darshan of Vav by itself. Vav hey darsh. He will darshan of Vav hey. Beha Eish. They learn it from there. Say again, what? Beha Eish. So the Vav hey is the superfluous. So that's teaching me that I have this. Now, again, you know, when it comes to a lot of these things that relate to the Avoda, so I told you the Mitziv has a Hakdama to Sefer Vayikra. So he says that a lot of these things were like Mesorah, they knew what the halacha was. They were looking for Psukim to support it. Though here, though, we do have a machloket from the Psukim, but the piece. Okay, any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I've done so far? What's again? Right. No, in other words, you have like this powdery, like gunpowder. Like thinking of gunpowder. I put gunpowder on the fire. It's like, shoots off. You know, so the Gemara learns that if it's an animal, piece of an animal, shoots off the outer mizbeach, the smith's going to put it back on the fire. If the Torah shoots off, so I don't put it back on the fire. All right? Okay. Let's see how we got. Everybody good? Okay. All right, let's go further. All right, so I'm going on in the Gemara. So around the 10th line on Memehama base, 45B, around the 10th line. Now, Eish Tamid L'mayata. So the Gemara says, now Eish Tamid is, this is Pasuk Vav on page 570. So the parsha, the paragraph in Torah ends, Eish Tamid Tutanasechot Tefet. The constant fire shouldn't be put off. So Eish Tamid L'mayata, what is that coming to teach me? And again, here we have Tukad again. Tukad, we know, usually means like another Maracha. So what happens to that Tukad? So the Gemara says, we need it for that which we learn in the Braisa. Now, in the beginning of the Braisa, the way it's written in our Gemara, it mentions Eish Tamid. But if you look at the Gra, he says that's not, it should be corrected, and it should read the Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. So the Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo, so the beginning of the bright, we will come to this Pasuk, Eish Tamid Tukad HaMizbeach Tukad, but right now we're focusing on, yeah, the Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo is line 3 on page 568, which is the end of Pasuk Bay. Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. Okay, the Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. Now remember when we began the sugya, we said it said in Pasuk Beis, it said Tukad or similar, it said Hiola al Mokta was the main maracha, and then the Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo was the maracha for the Ketoret, the maracha for the coals for the Ketoret. So here the Bryce says, Limeid al Maracha Shnei Shkoret, Shotehe Ela al Mizbeach HaChitzon. So this teaches me that the maracha, the pyre that's going to create the coals, for the Ketoret, has to be on the outer Mizbeach. In other words, there's an inner Mizbeach and an outer Mizbeach. So the Ketoret is going to be burnt on the inner Mizbeach, but the coals for the Ketoret have to be burnt on the outer Mizbeach. Right, in other words, they take wood, they burn the wood that creates coals, they take the coals, they put it on the inner Mizbeach, and they burn the Ketoret there. Okay, so the Gemara says, Eish Machta Umenorah Minayin. So the Gemara says, where do I know Eish Machta are the coals for the machtas, the shovel that's going to be used in the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur, and the menorah. Now, the menorah is, in other words, I'm going to light the menorah. Where do I know that the fire that's going to be for the inner Torah of the Kodesh Kadashim and the fire that's going to light the menorah also has to come from the outer Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, Vidinu, it's logical. Namra Eish Biktoret. So by Ketoret it says Eish. And Artsville, I think, put the passage for this. Let me get the Artsville open. So, one second, let me see. Let's see what we've got. A. One second. Okay. Yeah. 14. Okay. Yeah. So he says, "Velo lachak velo matagak alei miel zefel pei Hashem." That's on Yom Kippur. He says, wait. I'm sorry. Number Eish Biktoret, 12. He says, right. It says Yaki Reno. It says Yaki Reno will burn it. So that doesn't say H per se, but it says Yak Nirana. So it says, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Vidinu Nemra H Biktoret. So by the regular Ktoret, by the daily Ktoret, it says Yak Nirana, burn it. But the Gemara is like the equivalent of H. Vidinu H Bamakta. It says Aish by the Makta Yom Kippur, which is he'll take the coals. He says, Benemra Aish Makta Menorah. Now it doesn't say Aish by Menorah per se, but it says you'll light it. So the Gemara assumes like the equivalent of it. So he says, it has to be lit, so it's the same as fire. So that's what the article says. So Nemra Aish Makta, Benemra Aish Makta Menorah. So just like by Ketoret, I know that the fire, the coals have to come from the outer Mizbeach, Afkan al Mizbeach HaKitzon. So too, by these other items, also have to be from the Mizbeach HaKitzon. That's one way we could go. Or you can go this way or analyze this way. Nemra Eish B'Ketoret, it says Eish by the Ketoret, the Nemra Eish B'Makta U'Menorah, and it says Eish by the Makta and the Menorah. The Makta is the shovel, one Yom Kippur with the Ketoret and the Menorah. So now, with the Ketoret, I'm going to the nearest fire. So right now, I look around the Zara, where's fire? On the Mizbeach. So to the Machta Menorah, I should go B'Samachlo. So that's the nearest fire at that point is the inner Mizbeach. That's be another way to say it. So maybe, so one spar is, I'm going to go to the outer Mizbeach. That's where I got for the coals for the regular Ketoret. The other is the regular Ketoret, I went to the nearest fire. Now I have a fire on the inner Mizbeach. So now the nearest fire for the menorah and for the Kodesh Kedashim is the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So I don't know where to go now. So Tamad Lomar, Eish Tamid to Tchal Mizbeach Lo Tichbeh. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, go back to the Chumash. So now the Pasuk, this is the Pasuk that we started off with, is what the Gemara was interested in on page 570. Eish Tamid to Tchal Mizbeach Lo Tichbeh. Eish Tamid Sha'amar Tilafah. Eish Tamid, it says by the Ner Maravi, by the menorah, it says Lahalot Ner Tamid. In other words, it should constantly be burning. The menorah should constantly be burning. So Eish Tamid Shamarti Lacha Lotei El Brosho Shemizbeach HaKitzon. So that pasuk, which is page 570 pasuk bav, which is Perek bav pasuk bav, is Eish Tamid Shemizbeach. So the word Tamid, that's connected Lahalot Ner Tamid. It's teaching me the light from the menorah has to come from the outer Mizbeach. Lamanu Eish the menorah, Eish the Machta Minayim. So, okay, so now menorah you got covered. Menorah has to be from the outer Mizbeach. How do I know that the coals for the shovel that you're going to burn the Torah in the Kodesh Kodesh from Yom Kippur have to come from the outer Mizbeach? Bidinu, so I could say it's logical. Nemra Eish the Machta, the Nemra Eish the menorah. It says Eish by the Machta. By the shovel, it says, Blakach malo machta gachale eish. He'll take fiery coals. Menorah eish b'menorah. It doesn't say eish b'menorah, so you light the menorah. Malahalal gabi mizbeach achitzon. Just like the menorah is on the outer mizbeach, the fire comes. Afkal mizbeach achitzon. Oh, klach the derech zu. Or you can analyze it this way. Nemra eish b'ketoret. It says eish by the ketoret. And we said, didn't say Eish per se, it said Yakti Rana, but we get the idea, the same idea. Nemra Eish B'machta. Malahalan B'samachlo, so by the Ketoret, it was a weekday Ketoret, the daily Ketoret, I'm taking the nearest fire, which is from the outer Mizbeach, Afkan B'samachlo. So perhaps by the Ketoret on Yom Kippur, I should use the nearest fire. The nearest fire is Be'ach HaPnimi, the inner altar. So Tamil Omar. So now we're quoting the pasuk from Achrimo. It says the Kohen Gadol will take Melo Hamachta, the full shovel, Gachaleish, fiery coals, Me'al Hamizbeach Milafnei Hashem, from on top of the Zbeach Milafnei Hashem, before Hashem. Ezum of Zbeach Milafnei Hashem, Milafnei Hashem. So since the Torah says Me'al Hamizbeach Milafnei Hashem, from the Zbeach, which is before Hashem. Now, the term Milafnei Hashem, I was talking to somebody in the base medrash today, Rabbi Yonatan Drury, so he was saying Milafnei Hashem depends on the context. Sometimes Milafnei Hashem means in Yerushalayim. So like Milafnei Hashem usually leans like before the Aron or things like that. Here, the way our Gemara is taking it, Milafnei Hashem, Hashem is in the Heichal. Heichal is totally Milafnei Hashem. The outer Mizbeach the half that's like closest to the Haichal is the Milafnei Hashem. The half that's not is not Milafnei Hashem, meaning the western half of the Mizbeach is Milafnei Hashem, the eastern half is not Milafnei Hashem. So he says, so when it says Me'al HaMizbeach Milafnei Hashem, from the Mizbeach Milafnei Hashem, meaning that the Mizbeach, the part of the Mizbeach which is Milafnei Hashem, so Ezu Mizbeach which Mizbeach? We have two Mizbechot. Which Mizbeach is only partly before Hashem, not totally before Hashem? And the Omer is the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that's the outer Mizbeach. Okay, so now we got that. So now we proved that the fire for the menorah and the fire for the Ketoret on Yom Kippur has to come from the outer Mizbeach. Now three lines at the bottom, So the Torah uses two terms to describe where the fire is going to come from. It's going to come from the Mizbeach and the Mifnei Hashem. So I need both terms. If the Torah would have only written Me'al HaMizbeach, I would have said, Havamina, my Mizbeach, Mizbeach Panimi. I would have said it means the inner Mizbeach. So it doesn't mean that. So Katav Rachmanu Mifnei Hashem. So the Torah is Mifnei Hashem, and now I know it's from the part of the Mizbeach which is Mifnei Hashem, and that locks it in to the outer Mizbeach. And if the Torah would only say Milafnei Hashem, meaning he'll take Malomachta Gachaleish Milafnei Hashem, Havamina Dafka Milafnei Hashem. The Gemara says, I would have said that it has to Dafka be the part of the Mizbeach, which is Milafnei Hashem. Now, we know that the Heichal, the opening of the Heichal, is 10 Amot wide. The Mizbeach at its base is 32 Amot. So, Milafnei Hashem, I would have said, is like directly in line to that opening to the Heichal. That's what it would say. Havamin Dafka Milafnei Hashem, half line on the above an Aleph. Havamin Haigis and Haigis Eimalo. But, you know, even though it was on the west side of the Mizbeach, but a little bit to the north, a little bit to the south, not. So the Gemara says, so Kamashmal not this way, so it's Shricha. So it's teaching me it just has to be on the western half of the Mizbeach. All right, now. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I did so far? What's up for you? Have anything? Anybody? Okay, let me just do a little bit of the sheet, and then that will be it for today. Well, at the base was 32 amma by 32 amma. So if an amma could be a foot and a half to 2 feet. So if it's a foot and a half, so it would be 32 and another 16. It would be 48 feet by 48 feet, roughly, at the base. And then at top, it's smaller. I think it's 28 amma by 28 amma at the top. So that would be the maximum. I think that's what it is. Okay, now, let's take a look. Please take a look. I tell you, it's tricky with that Mizbeach. It's like, you make it wrong. You don't watch where you go. You're like in bad shape. All right, let's take a sheet, and then there'll be it. Now, I don't know if you want to take it. He's got a piece. All right. Let me see. All right. All right. Well, all right. I'll say the story, and then you'll see how you feel. Okay. So this is Eish Tamid Tu Kaz Be'achot Tefes. So the fire, you know, can never go out. Today's talk discussed the various functions of the Marachot, as well as the need for Kima Eish, the maintenance of the altar's fire. This isn't fulfilling the Torah's command. The Rambam says this means that one who puts out the altar's fire transgresses the Torah prohibition. The fire has to keep burning. So the Shem Yishmuel, that's what Shmuel Bornstein, adds another dimension to this principle. We are not allowed to put ourselves to cool off in our avodas Hashem. In other words, Eish Tamid Tu Kaz Be'achot means like the fire on the Mizbeach can burn out, but a person's inner fire is like his enthusiasm to Torah and mitzvos can never be allowed to be go down. To keep the oldest fire burning highlights the enthusiasm to arouse an inner fervor every single day, not to rely on the natural warmth that remained from before. This relates to the dictum chazal that even though the oldest fire descended miraculously from on high, is nevertheless a mitzvah to make this worldly preparations to receive it. Lavim and hedyot. If we get fire in a shemayim, we have to bring from the hedyot. So it means everybody has to keep themselves like burnt, fire burning. So a young man once came to the Chazon Ish for advice. He felt that the time had come for him to leave the yeshiva and get out into the working world. And it was well known the opportunity to make a decent wage was better if one had served in the army. And that's the Chazon Ish died, I think, around 1953. but it's true today in Israel as well. My understanding is like you can't, unless you go to the army, then they don't certify you to get a job. So it's like you're locked into a you know, if you don't serve in the army, you're locked into a situation where you really can't get like a reasonable job. So after hearing the young man's arguments in favor of entering the army, the Chazon Ish seems supportive of his plans. For offering a definitive opinion, however, he asked the man a question. Can you think of any reason why it wouldn't be a good idea to enter the service, he probed. The young man thought a moment and answered, well, it is possible that serving the army would cool off my Avodas Hashem somewhat. This does worry me. The Chazon Ish reacted immediately. Cool off your Avodas Hashem? Then you certainly cannot join. Don't you know that such cooling off is Yehari Galiavor? All right, he said not to do it. Okay, anyway, let me end the recording.